our radio program with Philip Van Winkle.
And so some people will say, well, if you'll just send us some money, you'll see how much God will produce. Send me $300 and watch what God makes happen in your life. Oh, He's going to give you so much more than that money. And it's nothing more than an appeal to the flesh.
Some today who profess Christ state that you should support them because of what you will physically gain in return. They ask for your money and promise that you will get more in return. But should the motivation to work for God come from the desire for earthly wealth?
We're in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4, so if you have your Bibles, we ask that you open them and follow along as we study God's Word together. John writes in 1 John 4 verse 4, "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them." Now, these people who taught the truth, it might possibly happen that they would become discouraged. You know, they teach the truth, and then these other people come in and they teach error, and people start following this error. But that's still how it works today. Some gospel preacher sometime might say, you know, why does Billy Graham or why does Joel Osteen, how do they have so many more followers than we have? Why does the Pentecostal church have so many more people than we in the church have? Why? Why does it seem that error seems to have a lot more followers than the truth? Well, John was dealing with those same issues as well. Those people could have been thinking, you know, if we're teaching the truth, why are more people not believing the truth than they are believing error? Well, here's why. Look at verse 4 again. "Because you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world." You see, God is with us. He knows us. He knows who His people are always. He's more powerful than the devil, the one who is in this world, the prince of this world. So how does the devil have so much success? Well, verse 5 says, "They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them." The majority of the people in this world are more appealing to the things of this flesh than they are of things having to do with spirit. People don't really care to know how to be pure. They don't want to know how it is to be holy. They don't want to know what it means to be righteous. People want these days, unfortunately, and it's always been this way, they want to hear a social gospel. They want their ears to be tickled. They want to sit in their chairs and feel good. And so people want this thing called a social gospel. You want to see a large crowd sometime, just watch some of these preachers like, and I'm not going to just pick on him, but he's the only one that keeps coming to my mind, but Joel Osteen, you can look out at his crowd and you see he has lots of people following him. Why? Because he preaches a social gospel, a gospel that says God will give you money and will give you wealth and give you health and God will give you good fortune if you'll just give your life to Him. And people love to hear that social gospel, but folks, that is not the gospel of Jesus Christ. These sermons appeal to the lust of the flesh and the pride of life. And so some people will say, well, send us your seed money, and let's just see what the Lord will provide for you. Oh, if you'll just send us some money, you'll see how much God will produce in your life. So send me, they say, send me $300 and watch what God makes happen in your life. Oh, He's going to give you so much more than that money. And it's nothing more than an appeal to the flesh. But doesn't it sound better than you need to put God first? If you want to follow Christ, you must deny yourself. You know, you need to work hard daily for the Lord. You need to live your life pure. You need to live your life going about helping others. That doesn't sound as good, does it? As, oh, send us $300 and let's just see how much good God can work in your life. But folks, that's where we are today. You see, we are of God. They are of the world. In verse 5 again, "They are of the world, therefore they speak of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God. He that knoweth God hears us. He that is not of God does not hear us. You know, the one that doesn't care to listen to what God says, he doesn't care about the truth. If he's more interested in having his ears tickled, if he's more interested in just feeling good about himself, he's not going to listen to what we have to say. Why? Because we're not preaching a social gospel. We're preaching what it takes to go to heaven. But the one, he says, who does listen, the one who does want to know the truth, he'll listen to you. You see, when people want to listen to the world, when people want to appeal to the lusts of the flesh and to the pride of life, that person is going to have a lot more success in getting people to listen than God does. It doesn't catch anyone off guard. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." God knew that it was going to be this way. "Hereby," he says, "know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." Now this word spirit here is not in reference to the Holy Spirit, as we talked about back in verse 2. This is talking about a general spirit of something, like a spirit of happiness or a spirit of loveliness. It's the spirit of truth, the disposition of loving that which is true, or the disposition of error. And so, hereby we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error, that which is honest or that which is a lie. He says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. Everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." Here is the apostle of love. Agape is the word. We have seen it before in 1 John chapter 3, back in verse 17 and 18. It says, "But whosoever hath the world's goods, and seeth his brother have a need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth." You want to know what love is, he says, look at God. We need to love each other the way God loved us. If you love each other, that is how people will know that you are his disciples. Isn't that what Jesus said? Everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Remember back in verse 3, every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And now we see, not only are we supposed to confess, but we also are said to love. We need to notice he doesn't say, "Hey, the only thing you need to do to become a child of God is just have this feeling of love for people." No, no, no. He's already talking to people who are children of God. They've already obeyed the truth. They've already been baptized. And now he says, you have to continue. There's the word loveth, a continuous action. We continue to love one another. That is how we know we are children of God. Here we are. Let's say that a lot of people have been baptized, and it's very easy to pick out the ones who love the brethren from the ones who don't love the brethren because of how they act with one another, how they behave with one another. John's point is, the ones who actually love one another, you'll know that the love of God dwells in them because they're showing God's love to each other. That's the point. And then in verse 8 it says, "He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." Back in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5, it says, "This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." Well, but hold on, John. Did you already forget? You said that God is light, and now you're telling me that God is love. Well, which is it? Is he light? Or is he love? Well, he's both. He is complete light. He is bright. He is shown as light so that he could not be touched by sin, that there's no spot on him. But also, he is complete and total love. Everything that he does is based upon that premise of the fact that he is love. And while we were still sinners, he sent Christ to die for us. And so he says in verse 9, in this was manifested or made known the love of God towards us. He demonstrated his love towards us. You know, it's one thing to just say you love somebody. It's another to prove it. Well, how did he prove his love? Well, back in 1 John 3:18, as we're told, it says, my little children, let us not love in word only nor in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And so he showed his love to us. How did he show his love? Verse 9 tells us, because God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. You know, he could have done many things. He's God. He could have done lots of things to show his love for us. He could have made this world even more beautiful than it is. He could have given us a dozen moons and 100 Grand Canyons. It would have cost him nothing to do that. Instead, in demonstrating his love for us, he gave us something that costs him dearly. And it was what we needed the most, a Savior, his Son. Perhaps in this life we never will know what Jesus gave up in order to become our brother. But this is how much he loved us. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. You know, back here it says in verse 9, he gave his, or sent his only begotten Son. Well, we read about that also in John chapter 3 and verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Back in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1, notice what it says. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called sons of God. Well, now we have a question. How is it that we are sons of God, but Jesus is the only begotten Son of God? We are sons of God, and we've been begotten. 1 John 3:9 says that we're born of God. That is the word begotten. Now, how is it that we are born of God, and yet Christ is the only begotten of God? Well, we're talking about a Greek word called geneo, literally to procreate or to bear or to beget or to be born or to conceive. Monogenes, that is, the only born. Back in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 17, it says, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten Son. But that wasn't his only son. He had already had Ishmael. The point is, Isaac was his promised son. It was the special son who was sent to do a specific thing, and that is what we're talking about in the Christ. And so John is trying to prove a point here that these men are rejecting the very one who could save them. And so when people come in and tell you things that the Bible says, don't listen to them. Keep abiding by what you know to be the truth in the Word of God.